listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 228 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal, Sean Orford, who's overseas. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing very well.
I can see you. Actually, I've switched my video off, but I can see you in your apartment there.
Right. My video's come back on, so it's nice to switch it off.
Well, go on then, just in case, just so we don't lose any connection or what have you. We've had a few issues with that in recent episodes, but, well, not that our listeners would know, because I'm that amazing at editing. We're talking about mindfulness this week, aren't we? We kind of give a bit of a refresher, really, because we haven't talked about it directly, although we do indirectly mention it almost every episode, I would say.
The main thing for me was that there were articles appearing in the Psyche Press about slagging mindfulness off, in the sense that the amount of claims that are being made for mindfulness as this kind of cure all wonderful thing were not substantiated by kind of scientific research. So they're saying that it's been overblown. You know, it doesn't actually match up to its hype.
Okay. All right, we'll come on to that. For any new listeners out there, liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Check it out for the show notes and links for this episode. Got loads of them this week. And all previous episodes are available online. You didn't have a chance to do a blog last week, but you're going to do one this week, Sean?
The blog should have gone up last week.
Oh, maybe it did in the end, but we didn't have it in time for when it was released, the podcast. So,
It did go out. You did get it.
Anyway, usually Sean, and this week, Sean will have a blog post for you to read as well, with some extra little nuggets of wisdom. How are you, Sean? How's Tricks?
Very good, very good. I've been in Qatar for a couple of weeks, and it's been quite sandy, a lot of sand in the air, which gives me a Qatari chest sometimes after a while. But I understand that the sand from this side has been blowing your side, so you've had interesting weather.
Yeah, we had an interesting weekend of weather, actually. It was actually really warm, and then there was a hurricane, tropical storm, not sure what it was classed as in the end, hit Ireland, but it brought in a load of sandy dust particles from the Sahara. Plus, I think there's been a lot of wildfires, or there are a lot of wildfires in Europe at the moment, which is it's all ill headed up over the UK. So we all saw a weird orange sun and orange sky. It was quite surreal, actually.
Yeah, Ree sent me a picture which looked like something out of a kind of science fiction movie.
Yeah, it was quite apocalyptic. I'm actually going to see Blade Runner tonight.
All right.
But I've had a little preview over the weekend with the Orange UK. But yeah, interesting. Cool. But you're back soon, are you? Back? You're back for next week?
Yeah, I'll be back. End of this week.
Jolly good.
I'm back for a month in Old Blighty.
Okay.
Should be good.
Well, we've missed you. We've missed you. Right, we'll crack on with this in the episode then, because basically, we're going to have a refresh of what mindfulness is, what it isn't, how maybe it's been hijacked a little bit by certain people, or people that maybe don't understand it entirely. Maybe people tried it and it hasn't worked. I mean, what is it? What is mindfulness, Sean? Have you got a definition?
Yeah, it's dead simple, and it has been overblown. The word mindfulness, there's two words in the East. In Sanskrit, it's smriti, and in Pali, it's sati. And both words simply mean remembrance or to remember. That's all it means. To be mindful is to remember. And what that implies is that when you do a mindfulness exercise, which is about learning to be in the moment, if you're focusing on your breath, what happens is your mind wanders. It's bound to. It's going to wander off somewhere to the past or the future or whatever. And when you observe that your mind's wandered, you've just remembered to be mindful. So you bring your mind back to the focus of the breath, and it wanders again, and you observe it, and you remember to be mindful. So to be mindful is to remember to be in the moment. That's all it means.
I've always been a good one for not concentrating fully on the moment, like not just, right back from my school days, I can remember, you know, I just kind of start daydreaming as the teacher was talking at the front, and then I'd hear my name what do you think, Edward? Or what's the answer? And I'd like, phew, come back to the real life. Absolutely panic. Rip myself and basically get called out in front of the teacher and say, concentrate, hey. So did I need mindfulness in that situation, or was the classroom taking me away from where I really wanted to be?
Well, maybe it's the issue was, where did you really want to be? Because one of the things is that when, I mean, obviously I enjoy the process of meditation, which is what basic mindfulness practice is. But if you're not into meditation, if it doesn't work for you, it's about as useful as a boat with a hole in it. You know, you need something that can allow you to be in the moment, which isn't meditating. One of the biggest mistakes that people make, especially the mindfulness purists, is that you have to be meditating to be mindful, and you don't. Cool. You can be mindful by running and getting into the rhythm of the run. I've known people that are mindful when they're knitting because they get into the rhythm of the sticks and the knit.
Yep.
Yeah. You don't have to be doing anything in fancy robes, sat cross-legged on a mattress. Although, if you can do that, one of the side effects is that you become mindful. That's what happens. But it's not obligatory. And one of the things that seems to be happening is that people are saying, you know, let's be mindful millionaires. You know, no, I mean, I actually, today I've run a program at one of the hospitals for mindful managers, which, so I've had 17 managers on a mindfulness program, and it's about allowing them to be in their present.
Yep.
So that the decisions that they make and the interactions that they have are mindful in the moment rather than reacting. So okay. It's easy when the pressure's on to react and let your mind wander off somewhere, and you cease to be in the moment, you start to react. So that the issue of mindfulness in certain settings is very relevant, but it is just simply remembering who you are and where you are rather than wandering off.
Let's put ourselves in the shoes of one of the people on your course, or perhaps one of the people that then is working underneath the manager that you've taught how to appreciate mindfulness.
Yeah.
If they've been taught this stuff about mindfulness and meditation even as well, if they're still at work and struggling to focus and they're daydreaming and going off topic, is that a sign that they're in the wrong job? Yeah, and that mindfulness isn't going to work for them in this situation?
Yeah. Very often. And that's a good point, because you're back to that thing again about people saying, oh, you know, mindfulness can solve any problem. It can only solve a problem if the particular type of mindfulness that you're doing is appropriate to the issue that you're at. And it does always start with, yes, do breath-focused exercise and sit down for your 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes a day, and to learn to focus is a really, really powerful technique. But it doesn't work for everybody. Some people have to do other things. And the issue of, and when you start to look at mindfulness as a daily practice or as a life, it's like, if you eat mindfully, do you just stuff the food down your throat like it's fuel? Or do you focus on what it is that you're eating, where it's come from, what it looks like, the flavor, the smell, and you take your time to chew it before you swallow it? All those things are mindfully being in the moment with the food. But if you've got a burger stuck in your mouth and your head's worrying about what it is you're going to be doing tomorrow, then you're not eating mindfully. You're not where you are.
What's the food like over in Qatar, Sean?
It varies where you go. There's quite a lot of Indian food here, which is very like food that Mama cooked. It's a good kind of Indian meal and Indian food. Whereas where you are in the UK, when we talk about Indian food, we actually mean it's either Bangladeshi or Pakistani. It's not Indian.
Okay.
Whereas you do get real Indian food here, which is quite interesting.
Is that in restaurants, or is this like in the hospital where you're...
In restaurants.
Canteens and stuff.
Yeah, restaurants. There are quite a few different kinds of restaurants around. And if you go into the malls, you get all the standard. You get all the, the Subways, the Kentucky, the Burger King, the... all that kind of stuff. Everything's in there.
So are you walking around Qatar and Doha mindfully, kind of amazed at your surroundings and taking in every little detail?
Yeah, very much. Because one of the things...
You're just in your apartment watching Netflix, aren't you? That's what I heard.
Looking out the window. The thing is that when you go around the when you go around the town, every time you go out, it's changed. So when the taxi takes me from here to the hospital, because it's all growing so fast, you never take the same roads because the roads are being changed, moved, things are being built, and towers come out of the ground at an amazing speed.
Blimey.
Just a mass of people, just suddenly a tower starts to appear out the ground. So I know that if I'm not here for a few weeks, when I come back, it'll actually be different to what I'm looking at.
How's the cycling infrastructure over there?
There are cycle paths.
Are there?
And this time of year, because it's starting to get cooler, it was 38 today, but it's starting to cool down, and it will get down to the 30s or the high 20s by December. And then people have been out more. You can see people are out in the world more.
Is there a full metro or train system, trams and all that?
There will be. There will be. It's all being built at the moment.
Because you would hope that a city that's being built now out of the ground would kind of try and bypass the car as much as possible, given how much gridlock we have in the West.
Yeah. There will be, from what I can understand, it's underground trainways. But they're all air-conditioned.
Of course.
So, yeah. And it's a lot of it is because there's the World Cup coming here. And from what I can understand of that as well, talking to one of the engineers today, is that the all these massive stadia will be air-conditioned as well.
So I believe. Yeah, I remember hearing that when I heard that they'd won it. Incredible. Back onto the topic. Although we are talking mindfully there, our conversation was very mindful then, wasn't it? It was flowing like a river. But so how do you respond to these articles when you see them, that mindfulness is a scam?
I think that they're right. And it reminds me of The Secret. When The Secret first came out, and everyone was raving on about The Secret, and it was the joke that you and I had of the person sat down in the chair with their eyes shut, saying, "I will have a ham sandwich, I will have a ham sandwich, I will have a ham sandwich." Well, you won't have a ham sandwich. It's not going to drop out the sky. You've actually got to go and do something to get it.
Yeah.
And it's the same issue with the hype around mindfulness. Mindfulness is a tool that enables you to do something else, but mindfulness is a thing in itself. It's just a way of doing something.
Yeah, it's not enough to read a book or listen to a podcast or a blog, read a blog post, is it? You've got to get down to work and... get your hands dirty, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah. As the Quakers would say, first of all, you pray, but then you have to move your feet. If you don't do anything, nothing happens, nothing changes. And I think that that's the biggest thing with things like mindfulness. Like the thing with The Secret was people were telling me, no, I've decided I'm going to win the lotto next week. You know, okay, fine. You know, I'm sure that there were thousands of people going, I will win the lotto. You know, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
So, the thing is that mindfulness won't fix something that is wrong. What mindfulness does is it enables you to find the ways to fix things that have gone wrong. And that's right. The point. You know, mindfulness is the tool. It's not the thing.
Beautiful. Okay, there's an article. I'm going to go through these points. Mindful.org, 5 things people get wrong about mindfulness, which is a pretty cool article. I've only actually, to be honest, read the headlines, the 5 points, but we'll go through them if you're right with that, Sean.
Yeah, I'm cool. Yeah,
so myth number one. Thanks, Mike. Sorry, Mike's just going to make me a glass of water there. Not Mike, he's going to pour the water into a glass. Myth number one, mindfulness fixes something that's wrong with you.
It doesn't. It gives you the tools to find the ways to fix the things that are wrong with you.
Yeah.
Or it gives you the time and the attention to pay attention to what you need to pay attention to solve your problem. Say you're in debt. You know, it's like mindfulness is not going to take away your anxiety or fears or worries. But if you're mindful about the problem, you're likely to find your solution.
Yeah, which will then lead to a happier, healthier life.
Yeah.
better blood pressure, etc. By the way, the blood pressure monitor that you let me borrow, we've got it in the office now, and we've all been going crazy checking our blood pressure all the time. So,
and have you got good blood pressures?
All right, actually, yeah, it does. It's quite interesting how it varies
during
the day, and even in a 10-minute period. So, but it's averaged out pretty well for me. So,
yeah, I mean, the thing is that you'd expect your blood pressure to go up when you were doing something where you needed pressure in your system.
Yeah,
it's the thing is that when you stop and relax, what happens to your blood pressure? That's the issue.
Okay, yeah. Cool. All right. Myth number two: the result of meditation is boring, bland, cult-like calmness and complacency. What do you make of that one?
Well, I think that you do get some people that are into this, the whole kind of mindfulness thing. They're turning it into some kind of religious thing. And you get this idea of, because we're doing mindfulness, aren't we good? And we're complacent about who we are. I think that it is true that people that practice that kind of like half an hour's mindfulness a day as like a meditative process are calmer. They get less stressed. They don't react so much. Those things are true because they're mindfully observing what's going on. And I think that calmness is very much there. But I guess some people become complacent in that. I'm mindful, you're not, kind of.
Okay, myth number three, mindfulness is just Buddhism in disguise. Woohoo, so they're kind of sneaking it, Buddhism in the back door. What do you reckon?
No. There's two things in that for me. Is everybody hangs mindfulness on Buddha. And God bless him, lovely guy, I'm sure. But mindfulness was around way before Buddha. I have no problems with people attaching the idea of sati to Buddha, but Smriti was around long before that. And the whole kind of Ayurvedic world it embraced all this stuff a long time ago. But it doesn't really make any difference. The thing that I like about mindfulness as a scientific psychological thing, like mindful psychology, is it has a lot of the Buddhist techniques, as in the sitting meditation and stuff like that, but it's taken the Buddha out, so there's no religiosity.
Okay.
There's no sort of deity to focus on. It's become a much more kind of psychological, scientific, directly emotional tool.
This is so it's something that everyone can get involved in, whatever their faith or spirituality. So
it's not like Buddhism in disguise to me. It's more like Buddhism disguises mindfulness as a religion.
Right.
Sense.
Yeah, okay. Okay, cool. Yeah. Myth number four, mindfulness is being used to create perfect killers and capitalists. That's quite a bold statement, that one.
Well, that's a weird thing because I'm not quite sure what they mean. But the thing is that if to practice mindfulness makes you more aware of being in the moment and being where you are, and if it makes you more efficient and calmer, I guess you could have an argument that to practice mindfulness might make you a better assassin.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's a fair enough kind of comparison.
Yeah.
I guess also that if you can focus that clearly so that you can become effective at making money, maybe it can make you a more effective capitalist. I don't know. Maybe that the process of mindfulness might get to the point where you think maybe this isn't too good way to spend my energy, maybe.
Yeah, it's a weird one, that number four, actually. But from my point of view, I think what it's trying to get at in terms of the perfect capitalist, at least, is that maybe mindfulness is being brought into businesses and companies and organisations like the health service, what have you, as kind of a quick fix to boost productivity and the bottom line. Rather than focusing on the welfare of the workers, it's being used.
Well, I disagree with that. The way I see this is that a business is there to make money, right? Or a service is there to provide a service.
Now, yep.
If using mindful techniques, either directly with staff or getting trainers to train managers to manage mindfully,
yeah,
then that increases the efficiency of the organization. Okay, if the organization is there to make money, that may mean they make more money. if it's a service industry, it maybe they become a more efficient service. But the point about the mindfulness is that you end up with a happy workforce. Mm-hmm. So that the issue of in a mindful organization, if you have a happy workforce, then you have happy customers, and happy customers use your service. You know what I mean? It's like it all works together.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so there's nothing wrong with mindfulness and people making money in a business. It's like, would you rather do that, or should we go back to slaves and you know, chain people up? You know, I'd rather work with people mindfully myself.
Yeah, no, it's, I get that completely. I guess what I'm saying, what I would just want to push back on slightly again, is that if the people that are putting it into large organisations and companies are focusing on the bottom line rather than the happiness of the staff, which might come anyway, are they missing out on a certain percentage of gains because they're not focusing enough on the happiness of people? Or rather, do you see what I'm getting at slightly here?
Yeah, I get what you mean, but I think that the issue...
Does it not matter? Because
I think it's skewed because if you're there to make money and doing it mindfully means you make more money, well, I guess that's okay.
Yeah.
But the thing is that if you're treating your staff mindfully, then you're not abusing them. You're not in any way, in some way, kind of conning them into something.
Yeah. What's your experience then? Because you've been running courses on mindfulness for a number of years now. Is it how often do things succeed and fail, or how often do you have to go back and tweak things?
I think it does depend on the organisation and the culture.
Yeah.
The magical thing that I'm doing at the moment is I've got managers that are creating teams. So very often my role is about, can you go into this team because there's something wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, and usually that's really tough stuff. There's a magical thing happening what I'm doing at the moment where I've got a whole bunch of managers who are currently recruiting their teams so that the issues for them are, okay, how do you want to develop this team and develop the ethos within your team so that you can get the best out of everybody and get the best out of yourself?
Yep.
And when you look at that mindfully and you look at how you interact, because in mindfulness, that sense of self-awareness, you know, what am I like as a manager? Am I a bully? Am I fair? You know, and it is always true that if you have a good mindful manager who looks after their staff, the staff end up looking after the manager.
Yeah.
And the manager's job becomes easier. You know.
Cool.
It all runs together, yeah.
Myth number five, mindfulness is just the next trendy industry.
I think that's true in the sense that mindfulness isn't just the next trendy industry. It is the trendy industry. But I think that it may kind of peak in the popular world. You know, you'll end up things like mindful gyms and stuff like that will probably diminish. But mindfulness as basic psychological tools, because however you wrap up all this kind of hype and all the articles, the issue, and I know this just working with people on a daily basis, that the effects that mindfulness, that is remembering to be in the present, can have on depression, because depression is when you focus on the past. So remembering to be in the present reduces depression. And with anxiety is when your mind keeps wandering to the future. Okay, remembering to be in the present reduces anxiety.
Yep.
But also things like bereavement, things like loss, issues of things like illness and pain, and even terminal issues. When people are living in the present moment, however tough their life is, and they may die next week, you know, tomorrow, but if they're in the moment, they're not dying today. And all that sounds a bit hard and tough, but I see the results of that on a daily basis.
Yeah. You know,
people that are able to be in the moment change their lives.
Yeah. So the bottom line is that it's the real deal. But you've got to don't forget that you need to put in the miles and the hard work to reach that.
You have to practice. It's practice, practice, practice. But you have to realize that mindfulness is a tool that takes you somewhere else.
Yeah,
but it doesn't. It's not like a lotto ticket. It's not going to do anything of its own. You have to actually use it to do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you see the effects. They're amazing.
Cool. What's your resource, Sean? Or is there anything else you want to mention before we get to that?
No, I'm good. My resource is going back to the book, the Live in the Present book.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's about. It's about not just the issues about being mindful. It's okay. If you want to be mindful and you want to live in your moment, you want to remember to live in the moment, how do you let go of the past? How do you stop worrying about what might happen? So in the moment, how can you create what you do want? Because anybody can do it. You just have to take the time out and the effort to focus and do the work.
For sure. No, well, I'm going to mention the free toolkit from our website, which I didn't mention at the start of the show, but you put your email address in one of the boxes on our site, you'll be sent a link where you can get some free meditation files. And not only that, you get a 10% discount code for the Live in the Present book as well. But if you're not up for spending money on the book, we did do it back on episode 100, short kind of audio course, didn't we, for each step as well. Yep. So, yeah, no excuses. It's out there, really, whether you want to throw a few quid at it or not, really.
And I have some good news.
Oh, yeah?
The good news is that the anxiety tool that I've been threatening is finished. So it's there to be, I need to have it proofed and sorted by your good self, but it's
cool.
There to go up online with all the recordings so that we can start to deal with anxiety directly and mindfully, so we can get those people that are wandering into the future to be back, to remember to being back in the present.
Well, marvellous. Whiz it through and we'll get out online in the next couple of weeks, for the world to pass judgment on.
Sounds good to me.
Yep. Cool. All righty. Are we all done?
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah,
I'm done too. I'll let you crack on with your evening. What does the evening entail for Sean now?
I've got to write this blog for tonight, and then I've got to prepare a presentation for some managers for Thursday morning, because that's their induction.
Uh-huh.
So it's a bit of a mindfulness induction. Indeed, into... recognizing stress and anxiety in the workplace.
Cool. All right. Well, good luck with that. I'm off home on my bike soon. The sun's shining outside, so make the most of it. I want to say I've just over the weekend I crossed 1,000 miles traveled by bicycle since March, basically since I put a little computer on my handlebars to track how far I was going and how fast, etc.
Well done.
Not too bad, eh? Not too bad. Yeah. So, yeah, yippee for me, etc. So. We'll be back next week, won't we, Sean?
Yep, we will.
Until then, everybody take care and have a good one.
Okay.
Speak soon, Sean.
Yeah, I shall see you face to face next time.
I'm looking forward to it, man. Okay. Yeah, you take care till then.
See ya.
See you, mate. Bye. See ya.